Now, about 4 out of 10 babies are born to unwed parents currently in the United States. If the parents are younger than 25, though, that number goes up to about 8 out of 10. While marriage once played a bigger role in tying young fathers to their families, many young people are choosing to delay marriage or not get married at all. Our guest and his co-author looked at the role these young fathers play in the lives of their children, in part by talking to them in a series of extensive interviews. Paul Florsheim is a professor in the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee, where he continues to work with young fathers and their families. He's been looking at how society can better involve fathers with their partners and children. He's the co-author of the new book, Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, back in the 90s, you were starting this research that the number of young pregnant teens and single moms was higher. It's gone down since then, but still a big issue. What made you decide to take a closer look at the fathers in this equation?
You know, it did start in the 90s. It was about 25 years ago, and the issue became apparent to me when I was doing research as a graduate student and clinical work as a graduate student. I'm a clinical psychologist by training, and just seeing a lot of families working both in research context and in clinical settings where the father wasn't involved, and I got curious about, you know, the dynamic was very different in families where fathers were involved and weren't involved, and I got very curious about what had happened to these fathers, and then decided over time that the best way to dig into that issue would be to try to catch them, you know, before the baby was born, when the fathers were still expectant fathers.
We've, as a society, I think, talked a lot about these young fathers, talk about absent fathers, deadbeat dads, things like that. You, and this is key to your book here, it's the heart of your book, you and your co-author talked to these young fathers. What kind of things did you start discovering when you were talking to them directly?
Well, let me back up a little bit. I mean, one of the things that we discovered pretty quickly is that it's not so easy to find young expectant fathers or young fathers at all, because they don't congregate anywhere. They don't receive services, and particularly in the 90s, they weren't receiving services. And so we sort of struck upon this idea of recruiting these young men through their partners, through the pregnant women, through prenatal clinics. And there were a few things that we discovered kind of right away. One was that we learned quite a – we interviewed the young women as well as the young men, although we did it separately. We separated them into different rooms, and we learned a lot about these young men from their partners that wasn't necessarily coming directly from them. We learned that, you know, sometimes, you know, they told us things that the fathers didn't necessarily want us to know. But a lot of times they told us about sort of the more tender aspects of these young men, how they took care of them while they were, you know, not feeling well, or how they supported them. And we were really struck by that this was – that the becoming of a father really occurs within the context of the relationship with their partners. And we hadn't gone into this sort of looking for that, but that really was apparent. The other thing that we learned really early on is that at this point, at this stage of the game when they were still expectant, these fathers were very hopeful about the future. They were scared. But they were also optimistic, and they were very open to having that conversation. And they all, and you know, almost a universal quality was that they wanted to be good fathers. They weren't sure they could get there, but they wanted to be good fathers. I think the third thing that we really were struck by was that you know, some of these fathers who looked like they were headed in a bad direction, you know, that they had a lot of risk factors that they were carrying with them, you know, trouble with the law, getting kicked out of school, having a hard time finding a job, substance abuse. We would sometimes have this response like, oh my gosh, how is this? This is not going well. This is not going to go well. And then we'd follow them over time, and a couple of years later, we were really surprised by how they had turned themselves around. So the other thing that really struck us was how these fathers were able to transform their lives through their connection with their child and with their partners.
Were there lessons that you saw? And I know you concluded the book with recommendations, but from those guys who had that aha moment and turned things around, maybe unexpectedly, was there some magic ingredient? Was there something that we can learn from them?
Yes, I mean that's really as we started to do this work, I was interested in doing. I'm a clinical psychologist, so I was interested in doing interventions and developing interventions, but I really didn't have a clue as to what that would look like 25 years ago. And these fathers, who we call the better than expected fathers, gave us a number of clues. And one of the things that that we noted in them is that they might be really concerned about their ability to be a father and to connect with their child. But those fathers who had the support in place to sort of confront those challenges and to help them seem to do better. And part of that support, and in fact, you know, several other researchers have sort of borne this out, that the most important part of that support for the young father is the partner. The quality of that relationship matters probably more than anything else.
Talking to Paul Florsheim from UW-Milwaukee, co-author of the new book Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. And I remember distantly, Paul, it seemed like for a while, society-wide, the conversation was either there's a married couple or there's a single mom without the involvement so much of a dad. Clearly, there's a lot more to the story there. Can you talk about the importance of the involvement of that second parent, the dad in this case, even if marriage itself isn't involved?
Yeah, I mean, as you noted at the beginning of this segment, you know, a lot of young parents are choosing to not get married or delay marriage, and a lot of young couples who do get married end up getting divorced. And so, one of the things that's really happened over the last 50, 60 years is that, you know, sort of how we define the family is very different. The architecture of those relationships, you know, just looks different than it did 50, 60 years ago. But what one of the things that remains the same is that the role of the father continues to be important. So families where the father is involved, whether he's married or not, whether they're in a relationship or not, whether they're cohabiting or not, is an important determinant of how how secure that child feels, how emotionally connected that child is able to feel to others, and so how well they do in school. So it's basically, you know, a very simple, in some ways, a very simple principle is that it's easier to raise a children with two parents rather than one.
We're talking to Paul Florsheim, professor in the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee. He's been looking at how society can better involve fathers with their partners and children, even if there's not a marriage involved. He's the co-author of the new book, Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this or was this your story? A young parent in a couple that isn't together, but maybe both parents involved in child raising. What helped you? What challenges did you face if you're a father? Is there something that could have helped you feel more connected and involved in parenting and in your child's life? Do you think our expectations for fathers need to change or even have changed over the last couple of decades? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Paul Florsheim, professor at the School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee. He's co-author of the book Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. Paul will be talking about his book at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee this Thursday, at 7 p.m. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a father, did you have any difficulty feeling connected or finding your role as a co-parent? If you had kids in an unmarried couple, were both of you able to work together to raise the kid? What helped you do that? What were some of the obstacles? And if you have questions for our guest, call 800-642-1234. Go to your calls now. Dave is with us in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. As always, excellent show. And this call is going to be unironic, which is a stretch for me, but I will say this. We have a society which has made, yes, drastic changes in 60 years, which, as opposed to the at least 100,000 years of modern human development, should be unsettling at best, catastrophic at worst, and yet we seem to take this all in stride. What I would ask of our expert today, to what extent are the policies we put in place, which in many ways do not encourage a woman with a young woman or a woman who maybe has lower socioeconomic status, to stay with or encourage the relationship with the father, meaning for purposes of qualifying for Section 8, for purposes of qualifying for Quest Card, for purposes of qualifying for any income assistance, for purposes of getting an earned income credit.
I gotcha, Dave. And this is something you tackle in the book, Paul. Are there, a long-running question, are there incentives in public support systems that discourage couples from staying together?
So there are – I mean, I think that this has been a long-running debate as to whether we are – I mean, it goes back to the 60s and the 70s where there was concern that welfare sort of supporting single moms would get in the way of fathers staying involved. And the research has not borne that out. One of the things that – you know, the – some of the policies or at least the practices that were put into place is that there were efforts to encourage couples to get married, and that really didn't work particularly well. I mean, there have been about 20 years of different efforts made in that regard. And so from my perspective, I think that for a variety of reasons – marriage just is less attractive for many of these young couples, and it does require us to think about what can we do as an institutionally to support these young families regardless of whether they decide to marry or not. One of the things we do work with young couples. We haven't brought this up yet, Rob, but we do have a program where we work with expecting couples to try to help them develop communication skills so that they're able to stay – so the fathers are able to stay connected with their child regardless of what happens to that relationship. And we're very neutral on the issue of marriage. We say it's up to you, you know, whether or not you stay together. We think these skills will be helpful to you in staying connected to your children.
Thanks for that call, Dave, at 800-642-1234. Paul, you also have a recommendation that there needs to be more of that sort of thing, including, in effect, bringing those expectant dads into the prenatal care picture, which is something we don't really do much or maybe at all. I don't know. What would that look like?
Yeah, so this book does have kind of a punchline to it. I mean, we do believe that one of the things that we could try to do, and this hasn't been done in any kind of systematic way, is to do what we call father-inclusive prenatal care, which would look like the expectation that fathers come in with their partners, whether they're married or not, and be assessed for what kinds of supports they might need to help ready themselves for parenthood, the challenges of parenthood. And I think it would require, you know, a rethinking of what prenatal care is. But we do believe that, and again, based on the experiences that we had with these expectant fathers, that the prenatal period is really the time to catch young men. They're more receptive. Their lives are less complicated. And it's a window of opportunity for helping them build the skills that they need to to function well as fathers and as partners. I mean, the partnership is critically important.
Paul Florsheim is with us from UW-Milwaukee, co-author of the new book Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. In the conversations, Paul, you have with these young men, a very common theme has to do with jobs and economics, the concern that money going into raising a kid is money that they couldn't spend on, say, education or job skills, and that dividing up the role of trying to bring income into the child raising versus the time they could spend with the kid. Could you talk about some of the things you heard from those young dads?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that does come across pretty clearly is that fathers do still, yeah, these young men do still see themselves as the provider, as wanting to be the provider. And when they're not as successful in that role as they want to be, there is a great deal of shame. And that can be very difficult for these young men. And so if you were to ask young fathers what they need, what we provide, you know, relationship skill building and counseling along those lines, they don't identify that as their primary need. What they would say is they want help getting a good job or getting a better job. One of the things that we try to convey in this book is that the role of men and families, of fathers, we believe needs to be more broadly defined, partly in keeping with the fact that the family has changed so dramatically, that women's roles are changing and men's roles need to change along with them. And not all fathers are necessarily going to be the primary provider, and they need help sometimes being able to see how they can contribute to child rearing other than just being sort of the narrowly defined provider.
That speaks to another common theme you ran across with these young men. They're very concerned with being a good father and trying to figure out what that means, sometimes with a very bad role model in their own fathers in some of the cases of the people you talked to. Can you talk about how they talked about what it meant to be a good dad?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, as I indicated, I mean, I think many of them, at least in the beginning, do define that role in terms of being, you know, getting a good job, getting a better job, and being able to support that child, which of course is still very important. As time goes by and the child is born and they're taking care of the child, the father's, it's the connection with the child that really sort of does help solidify that sense of oneself as a father. And so many of them talked about being a good father just in terms of spending time with their child, waking up and seeing their child, diapering their child, being able to soothe their child. And there's tremendous sort of a sense of pride and accomplishment just in those simple things. And so for many of these young men, being a good father is just being connected with their children.
One of the things that struck me as you share a lot of the conversations in the book, I might have assumed that a lot of young men would be reluctant to talk about all these issues. And some of them, it seems some of them were. But it seems like there's really a desire to tell their stories and do their thinking out loud with a non-judgmental ear.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that struck us in the beginning of this work is that we did you know, as I said, we relied on pregnant women to kind of bring their partners in, sometimes drag their partners in, because most young men are not particularly interested in sitting down and talking to a researcher, particularly a clinical psychologist. And so it really was – we designed the process so that we asked these questions around their experiences of their relationships and their expectations of fatherhood in a way that was truly open-ended, that allowed them to tell the story. We conveyed really clearly we wanted the long story. There was no right answer. And once we were able to sort of help them see that this wasn't a test, that we weren't judging them, they got curious about the questions we were asking. Many of these questions, simple questions like, how are you feeling about becoming a father, were things that they had not been asked before and they may not have articulated for themselves yet. And that made the experience very interesting for us, but it also really made the experience interesting for them.
I want to bring on another caller. Skyler is calling in from Kentucky. Skyler, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I think it would be really important for me to mention, first off, that I have twins. Give me one second.
Sure.
Yeah, I have twins, and I'm 18 years old. I found out my girlfriend was pregnant in high school. And I think the hardest part about being a father, especially of twins at this young, is the whole working aspect. So I work a really, really, I would say, demanding job. I work 12-hour shifts on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And coming home after 12 hours and not being with them that much is really, really hard. I feel like I don't get a lot of times with my son.
And Skyler, thank you for sharing that. We're just about out of time. Thanks for calling in as a fellow dad of twins. This work-parenting balance, Paul, was a consistent theme for many of the young guys you talked to.
Yes, it was. I mean, that the experience of Skyler is an experience that we heard a lot, and that's such a challenge because many of these young fathers are working long hours, sometimes working 2-3 jobs, and it is a struggle because they want more time with their children, and but at the same time they're just working to try to support a young family, and that is sort of a quintessential challenge. And one of the things that that we try to convey, I mean, people might say, well, why would I want to read a book about young fathers? And there's so much in their stories that I think is sort of this universal struggle to connect and stay connected with children that I think many, many fathers feel. But even if you have a father, if you're not a father but you have a father, sort of that issue of father staying connected is kind of a universal theme.
Skyler, thanks for the call. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That is Paul Florsheim. His new book is Lost and Found, Young Fathers in the Age of Unwed Parenthood. Catch him Thursday at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. This is Central Time.